Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This Spot Bitcoin ETF update is presented by Grayscale, the world's largest crypto asset manager. Spot Bitcoin ETFs are continuing to see record inflows in the United States, but they've caused a regulatory ripple effect around the world. Joining First Mover now to chat about that is CryptoQuant Head of Research, Julio Moreno. Julio, welcome to First Mover.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk about these inflows. Breaking records, it feels like, every single time I see a new report on the inflows. What are you making of all of the interest and excitement over here in the United States?
The ETF launch in the USA has been a total success. It was really, above anyone's expectations so far, 2024, in terms of inflows, in terms of capital that has flowed into these products. And we have now record holdings of Bitcoin in these ETFs, over 800,000, including GBTC. And that's 4% of the total supply of Bitcoin. So it's quite impressive.
Julio, it was a regulatory, I want to say nightmare, but regulatory battle leading up to this, a 10-year-long battle that really came to this approval because of a lawsuit that was brought on by Grayscale. Talk to me about what we're seeing from the rest of the world now. Like I said in my introduction, there was a regulatory ripple effect happening. We got some news out of the UK, Thailand, and Hong Kong. How's the rest of the world reacting to this from a regulatory perspective?
Once these ETFs are approved, in the US, which is by far the biggest market, other markets, other countries may look at this launching this type of products because of the U.S. legitimizing, Bitcoin through these ETFs. So, of course, there's going to be a push in other countries, in other industries, to have their own product, right? Because they don't want to be left behind, right? If you don't launch this type of products in other countries, in other financial centers, then probably that capital is going to come to the U.S., right? So it's also a competition. It's a race for the flow of capital.
I mentioned a few different regions just a few minutes ago that are now looking at ETF products for either retail or institutional investors. Hong Kong is one of them. Why are you watching Hong Kong? What's so special about Hong Kong?
First of all, because Asia is a really big market in general for crypto. Countries like South Korea, Japan, they're really big markets in terms of trading volume for crypto. So that's one thing. There's a lot of investment potential from Asia. And then Hong Kong, relatively recently, they passed, crypto-friendly regulations. They launched a license for exchanges to come to Hong Kong to operate, on a regulated way. So I think, in terms of regulation, everything's in place in Hong Kong. And so now they are seeing the success in the U.S., so they want to replicate that. And of course, Hong Kong being, a financial center, a major financial center. So it's really, really important.
Let's talk about the spot ETH ETF now. We can't talk about the spot Bitcoin ETF without talking about the spot ETH ETF. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are here, because more and more as the days go on, a lot of people who come on the show are saying they're actually a little bit skeptical if we'll see a spot ETH ETF here in the United States in May. With all of this interest from other countries, do you think that it's possible we'll see a spot ETH ETF approved somewhere else before it's approved here in the United States?
Well, I've been reading, you know, especially in Hong Kong, they're really working to launch this spot ETH ETF. So, and I think that because the U.S., you know, they got their first mover advantage with Bitcoin, right? Maybe some other places will like to have that, but for Ethereum, right? And so I think it makes sense for other places like Hong Kong, which has already, you know, clear regulations to launch another, you know, the second largest crypto, right? As a spot ETF, that will give them like the first move advantage. So I think that in other countries, it's going to be probably could be like first to the U.S. For Ethereum spot ETF.
Do you think that will actually matter, though? And the reason I ask is because the U.S. wasn't actually the first mover to the spot Bitcoin ETF. There were other regions who had one, Canada as an example, and there wasn't that this much excitement. There wasn't this much inflow going into the Canadian spot Bitcoin ETF. So do you think it actually matters if there's a spot Ether ETF that pops up somewhere around the world before the U.S. gets approval? Or is the U.S. the market that really actually pushes the rest of the globe to make a move?
Of course, the U.S. is, you know, by far the largest market. So that's, you know, that's one thing that they have to their favor, right? But also the others, the previous Bitcoin spot ETFs were launched and we were not really in the bull market, right? So that has an effect. We went to this bear market in 2022. So that, you know, people or institutions weren't really, you know, want to have exposure, right, to Bitcoin during the bear market. So now that we are really in a bull market, there's a lot of more interest, right? So if you launch a spot Ethereum ETF in this moment, because we are in a bull market, that people want to have exposure, or institutions really want to have exposure in this part of the cycle, right? So that's the difference, I would say, between the Bitcoin spot ETF that were launched previously in other regions. In the U.S., they were launched as we were really in a bull market. So that will be the difference.
Do you think that central banks will start buying Bitcoin with all of this excitement around the ETFs, governments and regulators looking at Bitcoin a little bit differently? Do you think that's in our future?
I would say that if they ever do that, they will be the last to do it. I don't think that they want to legitimize Bitcoin that much, you know, in that way. And it's a progression, of course. You know, individuals adopted Bitcoin first, then there came some funds, and then there came companies, right, like MicroStrategy. And then we have now these large wealth managers. So it's a progression. In that progression, I guess, if that ever happens, the central banks will be, I guess, the last ones to do that.
You brought up MicroStrategy. MicroStrategy was in the news yesterday wanting to buy even more Bitcoin as Bitcoin recently reached all-time highs. I know I just asked you if you think we'll see central banks start buying Bitcoin, but do you think more companies are watching Michael Saylor, they're watching MicroStrategy, and they're thinking, there's something here to what he's doing and might start diversifying their business to follow suit?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, the broader adoption of Bitcoin by corporations is one of the things that could drive this cycle. Now we have like this, you know, successful example of what MicroStrategy has done, right? And also I was reading from Bitwise, that, you know, who's buying or who's gonna buy this ETF, and they were seeing, like, they were being asked by corporations also, you know, to have exposure via this ETF. So I think that that's, you know, happening as we speak. They are considering, definitely considering, having exposure to Bitcoin, whether it's, you know, having the actual Bitcoin or through these ETFs is another possibility. But yeah, it's definitely something that I think is gonna continue, the adoption of Bitcoin as a you know, balance sheet asset for corporations.
All right, Julio, I'm gonna ask you to look into your crystal ball for me. If you look at the rest of 2024, what do you think is gonna happen next with, I'm gonna make it a little bit easier for you, with Bitcoin or with the ETFs?
Well, for Bitcoin, I mean, we are heading to the halving, right? And in past cycles, the halving has always this effect of accelerating the price run. So, I mean, from that perspective, we could expect, like, Bitcoin continue to gain in terms of pricing. And so, and of course, if demand from the ETFs continues to grow as it has been, that's really, really driving, you know, the demand for Bitcoin. Of course, it will be reflected on price. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, in general, positive year for Bitcoin.
Julio, thank you so much for joining First Mover today and sharing your perspectives.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.